Welcome to the Classical American Education Podcast with the Copelands.
In the first episode of Season 2, we introduce the man we refer to as the false prophet of America's past, Howard Zinn, because of the extensive damage he has done to America by promoting communistic propaganda as if it is true history. We have given him the title of the first horseman of America's educational apocalypse. The second person who we believe has earned the dishonor of being included on our list is a man who has been called the high priest of critical race theory. That nickname is not our invention, but it fits perfectly. Critical race theory, often referred to as CRT, is somewhat difficult to define, as its practitioners are constantly changing terminology in order to try and hide their true intent. The best place to start is by understanding that Karl Marx himself once called for, quote, the intense criticism of everything that exists. As we explained in detail during Season 1, the modern Marxist revolutionary has been trained to believe that to be the first step in destroying America. Criticize everything until you have the ability to tear it down and replace it with another ideology. As we mentioned on the last episode, that Howard Zinn advocated for the communist strategy of latching on to the racial unrest in America during the 1960s in order to use it to their advantage, we are seeing that same idea maximized in America today. And a very informative book on the subject that we've mentioned before, titled Cynical Theories, Helen Pluckrose and James Lindsay explain that when you see the word critical in critical race theory, it really means, quote, that its intentions and methods are specifically geared towards identifying and exposing problems in order to facilitate revolutionary political change. That is the end goal of critical race theory, the destruction of society as we know it. It is not a theory about race as much as it is a racist theory. The idea behind a traditional Marxist revolution is to convince the poor of any society that their only hope for happiness is to act in violence to overthrow the rich, which is typically defined as anyone who owns property or a business. That strategy has failed to work in America because we all understand that even if you are born poor, you don't have to stay that way if you work hard and make good decisions. That simple concept is called upward mobility, the opportunity to better your economic position because of our capitalistic structure. Anyone can change the financial future of their family tree if they embrace biblical principles. The Marxist revolutionaries have finally been forced to admit that this fact is true, but they are not willing to give up the fight because they don't really care about the poor that they claim to want to help. They care about power. They care about destruction. And as once identified as a goal in the life of Karl Marx, they feel themselves capable of dethroning God. And their search for a different avenue to produce a cultural revolution in our nation of upward financial mobility, the Marxists realized that one thing you can't change is your race. They theorized that if the masses are ever convinced that America is somehow systemically racist, then the only solution would be a complete overhaul of society. James Lindsay, a source that we mentioned in Season 1, is one of the foremost experts in this subject. He has written a book titled Race Marxism that fully examines this topic. He also explains the connection between Marxism and CRT in his latest work titled The Marxification of Education. In summary, Lindsay explains that for Karl Marx, the end goal of his philosophy was the destruction of private property as a means of overthrowing capitalism. Marx argued that that was necessary because the opportunity to own property is what divided societies into classes. He believed that once the underprivileged, meaning those who did not own property, once they were made fully aware of their own misery through what he called obtaining a class consciousness, then a revolution would be inevitable. For the practitioners of critical race theory, the end goal of destroying capitalism remains the same. Instead of agitating those who do not own property, CRT seeks to demonize those who own another type of property, what they refer to as whiteness. More than simply the color of your skin, those who have fully embraced this devilish doctrine believe that the traditional moral values of America are a part of what they call whiteness. That means that valuing what they call the nuclear family, meaning a father, mother, and children all living in the same home, if you value that, you're actually supporting racism. The same is true for advocating for the scientific method, believing it is important to be on time for school or work, speaking and writing with proper grammar. The list is rather extensive. The solution is for people in marginalized groups, meaning people of color, to, in the words of Lindsay, quote, become anti-racist when awakened to race consciousness. The goal is to abolish whiteness and thereby overthrow Western civilization, including, of course, the United States of America. The weakening of the United States is ultimately the best way to usher the world into the leftist dream of a new one-world socialistic order. And in our lifetime, we see this communistic strategy being implemented at a greater level of success than could have ever been imagined only a few decades ago. Major cities in America voting to defund police departments. Professional rioters being bussed in to burn down cities. So-called autonomous zones being established where anarchy reigns supreme and police are hesitant to visit. The endless, intentional agitation of everyone about everything at every possible opportunity. And one of the main drivers of this unrest is the man given the name Ibram Henry Rogers at birth. But we all understand that name does not sound radical enough. So he has taken on the name Ibram X. Kendi, and he is the man credited with inventing the term anti-racist. His most well-known work, How to Be an Anti-Racist, is certainly one of the most influential works in America today, from the highest levels of our armed forces all the way through the educational system. So I ask you the question, who would not want to be an anti-racist? That sounds pretty good to most decent people, and that is the exact strategy. The answer is simple. Everyone who actually understands what the term anti-racist means when Kendi uses it would not want to be an anti-racist, except for the most racist members of our society. Is that confusing enough for you? Let me make it plain. When Kendi argues that you should train up your child to become an anti-racist, he is actually promoting the old-fashioned hatred of people from a different race. In other words, a racist is a white person guilty of the sin of racism. But an anti-racist is someone guilty of the sin of racism against white people. Even if we are talking about a white person who hates white people, that is an anti-racist. Kendi is actually on record as saying, in writing, that the answer to past racism is current racism. And the answer to current racism is future racism. He argues that because white people have been racist towards black people in the past, the best way to fix that is for black people to be racist towards white people now. You might wonder, what happened to judging people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin? That is what we should do, but CRT demands that we do judge people by the color of their skin, just with the thumb on the scales to tilt the historic racism in the opposite direction. And this idea is gaining tremendous traction. You don't get called the high priest of CRT for nothing. Kendi currently serves as the Andrew W. Mellon Professor in the Humanities at Boston University and is the founding director of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research. He is a writer for The Atlantic, a correspondent for CBS News, the author of 5 books that reached number 1 on the New York Times bestsellers list, and in 2020, Time Magazine named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world. In 2021, he was awarded the MacArthur Fellowship, commonly called the Genius Grant. And that's not all. He recently authored 2 children's books, one titled Anti-Racist Baby and another Goodnight Racism. It is very important that we consider how significant it is that these ideas are being promoted to the youngest of children in America, all in the name of combating racism. It is very important that every American understands exactly what the goal of critical race theory is. In November of last year, Kendi was a speaker at the yearly conference held by the National Council of Teachers of English, which positions itself as a professional organization of teachers of literature and reading. Why was Kendi asked to speak? Because he is commonly cited as an expert in educational research. His ideas are heavily influencing the way teachers think and the way they teach. I can tell you that I've never been a member of the National Council of Teachers of English, and for that I am very thankful. Recently, I've received several emails from that organization promoting both their calendar of events and the materials that they produce. If you are interested in their approach to education and wonder how impactful the ideology of CRT has been in their approach to teaching, all that is required is the reading of the introduction of Teaching for Racial Justice. I pause to remind our listeners that anytime someone places an adjective in front of the word justice besides the word biblical, then you are virtually guaranteed that they are pushing an ideology of revolution, not what the Word of God would call justice. Again, what I'm about to read is from the printed introduction of a publication sold by the National Council of Teachers of English. Quote, throughout the book, when black and brown are used as descriptions of race, they are capitalized. When white is used to describe race, it is not. The seeming inconsistency is deliberate and takes a stand against the long history of white supremacy in the United States. I understand that what I've just read can be ignored as only a grammatical choice that has no real impact, but I ask you to consider what literally thousands of English teachers in America are reading in a book titled Teaching Racial Justice that is so woke that they admit to intentionally showing grammatical favoritism to everyone who is something other than Caucasian. That is CRT in action, and it is everywhere in the public school system, and it is supported often at the highest levels of government. In a recent article titled The Government Hustle that appeared in the Epoch Times written by Lee Smith, the author argues that, quote, critical race theory is a business. The proof he offers is that the Attorney General Merrick Garland, who gave the approval for a government agency to investigate parents who had the audacity to speak out against woke ideology at school board meetings, has a son-in-law named Zan Tanner, who owns a company that pushed CRT into public school curriculum. That type of corruption has no place in the United States of America, and critical race theory has absolutely no place in the American classroom. It is time for this nation to return to its biblical principles and reject the teaching of the second horseman of America's educational apocalypse, Ibram X. Kendi.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of the Classical American Education Podcast. Stay tuned for the Q&A session that will begin shortly. Until then, allow me one moment to tell you some exciting news. To help combat the attempted communist takeover of the American public school classroom, we here at the Classical American Education Podcast are in the process of creating a Bible-based, patriotic, family-style subject bundle. Stay tuned for more details about this important project. It is sad to me that in 2023, racism is still driving policy in America and driving the public school educational philosophy. I wonder, what would Martin Luther King Jr. say? Or what would Frederick Douglass say?
I can tell you exactly what they would say. One of King's most famous lines from the I Have a Dream speech painted a picture of an America in which we would not be judged by the color of our skin, but instead by the content of our character. CRT argues for the exact opposite approach to race. Its proponents, like Kendi, desire for race to be the first thing that you consider about everyone you meet. They go so far as to say that being colorblind is racist, because all actions you take in life should be aimed at reversing historical racism by oppressing those whose ancestors supposedly were themselves oppressors. Of course, that ignores the descendants of families whose sons gave their lives in the Union Army to end the evils of slavery in America, and it also ignores the African Americans who were slaveholders themselves, something much more common than most people realize. As far as Frederick Douglass is concerned, the most famous abolitionist in America's history, he was very clear on his belief that race should never be a reason to receive special privileges from the government or anyone else for that matter. He once explained, quote, "I know of no rights of race superior to the rights of humanity," and also said that the, quote, "Constitution knows no man by the color of his skin." He openly spoke out against what he called race pride, explaining that such ideas were, quote, "building on a false foundation." In the book Red, White, and Black, a product of 1776 Unites, a project of the Woodson Center that was launched as an answer to the 1619 Project, Dr. Lucas Morrill sums up the attitude that Frederick Douglass had concerning the ideas that are currently championed by Ibram X. Kendi, ideas that certainly were being offered as suggestions during the life of Douglass. This is how Morrill sums up Douglass's view, quote, "If they had been discriminated against in the past, the way forward was not discrimination in their favor, but equal protection under the laws, what they were owed all along." I'm very confident that both King and Douglass would reject the idea of critical race theory if they were alive today, which is why you typically do not hear any of the CRT advocates talking about either man often, if at all.
And the Bible is clear that all men are created equal in the image of God. God instructs us not to have respect of persons. He says if we do, we commit sin. We are to respect all human life, whether rich or poor, man, woman, child, elder, sick or healthy, the born or unborn, all life. Racism is a sin, period. The Bible also says that bitterness and hate and violence and revenge is sin. Jesus said that we are to bless those that curse us and love our enemies. CRT teaches the opposite. It is not biblical. It is a doctrine of devils.
Amen to that. The Word of God instructs us to be wise as serpents, but also harmless as doves. CRT is a destructive and sinful ideology that has no place in the American classroom. That is why we at the Classical American Education Podcast are advocates for returning America to its biblical foundation. What this nation needs is a third great awakening, because America has a God-given destiny to fulfill, and we have only one high priest. His name is Jesus, not Kendi.
Stay tuned next week. We will reveal who we've identified as the third horseman of the American educational apocalypse. Subscribe to the Classical American Education Podcast so you'll be notified when Episode 3 posts. Help us spread the word. Share this podcast, rate, and review, and reach out to us by email at classicalamericaned@pow.org. May God bless you as you serve Him in Jesus' name.